what we had discussed was some different principles from the Old Testament, and I was going to get to John 17 and Jesus' high priestly prayer there. But I thought we might just take a few pointers from Jesus' exhortations and really his promises to us as believers and try to apply this, and how I hope that it's applied best is really that we would just become a people of prayer. You know, let's just speak practically just for a minute about some things that God has been doing in our church. Just, you know, where he's called us out and he's brought us together. And, you know, we have seen lives change, and we've seen that, you know, God is working mightily. But let me say, church, that it is in spite of us that God is doing what he's doing in order that his name might be glorified. It's not because, like, we're some really special people or anything. It's because God wants to glorify himself. And so practically speaking, I think part of what God is doing is that he wants to call us together to be a people of prayer. And really, if this don't end up, if it doesn't continue, that we as a people set aside more and more time for prayer, how can I say this? It won't be pretty. I mean, God could just take his hands. He could take his hands off it right now, you know. And if he does, then, I mean, your life could fall apart. We won't reach people. We won't be, you know, we got a vision to send out missionaries. You know, we have a vision for a missions organization. I mean, we have a big God, and so we're thinking big. But let me say that doesn't matter unless we pray big. And that, you know, I'm excited that there's different prayer meetings that have started. The ladies have a prayer meeting. We started last week at Dave Davis's. I hope that we start a few more prayer meetings. And it's not any sort of legalism. It's not like, you know, we want to try to regulate your life. You know, we ought to look like at this like we get to pray. You know, we get to be prepared. You know, it's just like any type of preparation, any type. You know, if you're going to go into battle, you better be prepared. And we don't know what the future holds. I mean, we don't know what the economy holds. You know, I heard one guy last week say, "Well, it's going to rebound. Everything's going to be great." Another guy, he said, "No, it's going to get worse and worse." Well, it's in God's hands. And I don't doubt for a minute that the best thing for the church is that the church is continually tested. And actually, the best thing for the church is that the church is persecuted. The church thrives under trial and under persecution. So I'm just kind of saying, let's just flee to our refuge continually, and let's just hide in him. That's what Jesus said. Abide in me and I in you. You know, let my words abide in you. And if you do, and then there's some promise. So before I jump ahead, let's read a couple of passages. John 14, 15, and 16. We won't read the entire chapters, but let's just, we could, and then we just quit there. John chapter 14. And let's start in verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I mean, listen to the promise of God that Jesus is giving to his followers. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now in John chapter 15. Were we passing the rag around or? John chapter 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Here, just pass that around there. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And then look also at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, or your version might say abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. And then lastly in John 16, let's just read in verse 23. John 16:23. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, I have to give credit to John Piper for having learned the principle of joy. As I was coming into what we call the doctrines of grace, and I read Desiring God, it just blew me away. I was like, oh, we're supposed to enjoy being a Christian. Now, that's more like it. All this time, I didn't quite have a grasp on that. And it was because of legalism. But I don't want you to get confused about legalism when it comes to prayer. So let's just start off with the subject of why we can claim these promises of Jesus. And when he says, for instance, in John chapter 14, to ask in my name, and whatever you ask, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So, everybody says in Jesus' name. Of course, that's not exactly how we have to conclude the prayer. It's not the words, but it's asking in the stead of Jesus that the Father might be glorified. In other words, the reason that we pray in Jesus' name, and of course not our own, I mean, would anybody be scared if they got to pray in Scott Lee's name? Would anybody have any confidence? I'd be like, no, let's try Jesus. But basically, we can't pray in our name because none of us have any right to anything. You know, we name it and claim it is a lie of the devil. You know, we pray in Jesus' name because apart from what Jesus has done for us in taking away our sins, we have no standing at all before God. It's all based on that we can come boldly to the throne of grace because of the merits of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and in His name. And so He's cleansed us and He's given us His righteousness. God has made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so on that basis, you know, we're coming instead of Jesus, but because of the promise and the authority that he gave to the church, and because God finds our prayers acceptable on the basis of Jesus. It's just like our relationship. Our relationship is based on Jesus. Amen. I mean, it's not based on our performance. You can't, you know, if your relationship with God seems to be based on your performance of what you do, then, well, it's not a relationship. It's a religion. A religion is based on doing good and doing bad. And the better you do better and better and better. And so you kind of build a credibility. But that's religion. It's not Christianity. It's not a relationship. Christianity is based on Jesus and what He's done. And so on the basis of what He's done, we then are accepted by God because of Christ. And so we only come to Him through Christ. There's one mediator between man and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And that's true for salvation, and it remains true for prayer. That we come to Jesus because of Jesus. We can't approach the throne on any other basis. So secondly, not only do we come in Jesus' name and pray, but we come, Jesus said, that the Father might be glorified. So, you know, think about that. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Jesus is saying, I'm going to do this that the Father might be glorified. So when the Father answers your prayers, He glorifies Himself. Well, and that gives us a little bit of a key there as far as prayer in the first place. You know, you can't just say, well, I'm just going to ask for a lot of things and God will be glorified. You know, like this fellow says, well, I'm just going to ask for a Cadillac and God will give me that Cadillac. That's wrong thinking. See, not everything necessarily glorifies God. So we need to keep that in our minds. The aim of our prayers, and that begins with ourself and our families and our church and our pastor and our missionaries and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, the aim is that God might be glorified. And so this is radically God-centered. And that's our prayers have to be God-centered. Everything's about God. So that's the reason that, you know, He doesn't qualify the word whatever. You know, whatever you ask. Well, whatever you ask, hallelujah. Name it and claim it. Just this and that. And no, whatever glorifies the Father qualifies the whatever. So whatever you ask, Jesus said, I will do in order that the Father might be glorified. So whatever you ask, God will do. And, you know, we wonder how extensive that is. And if we make it absolute, then we deny that the glory of God is the aim of our prayers. If everything that comes to our mind, we try to distort into something that'll ultimately be for God's glory. And why is that true? Well, because we can all think of things that we ask. Even James admonished the believers there. You know, you ask that you might consume it upon your lust. That's asking amiss. That's asking wrongly. That's not asking that God might be glorified. It's just because of the flesh we ask selfishly. And so we need to think about what glorifies God. That's why Jesus taught us to pray. He said, pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Glorify thy name. And that's, you know, that model prayer. It's all of our prayer life should be about honoring the Father and recognizing the whatever He, you know, and this turns everything outward. And it's gloriously freeing. You know, when you're set free from a kind of a fretful, anxious type of a prayer life, when you're just, you know, going to God with a list that you can get, give me, you know, help. Not that God is not going to do that, but he Jesus already said, my Father already knows what you have need of. You know, we do pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread. But it is all kind of in the sphere of glorifying God. That's where this promise is given to us. Well, then he says in John chapter 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, let me just stop there just for a moment. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Guys, this is critical. Critical. I mean, I can't tell you how dry and self-centered your prayers can become. Well, you probably know yourself, don't you? If you're not in the Word. You know, let me just say this. You know, when I read in the Old Testament, I next read the Psalms. And very often when I'm starting to read the Psalms, you know, I'm looking in the mirror of God's Word. And those Psalms will often turn into prayers. I'll see how David was praying. I'll see David's concept of God, and it'll just kind of turn into prayers. And so this thing of the Word being an integral part of our lives. I don't want to, you know, heap condemnation on. Yeah, I want to give grace. My brother has taught me to make sure you end up with grace. You know, so many times I'd preach and preach and say, Bob, don't forget about the grace. And I'm like, well, that's your job, brother. But grace teaches us that we can't do without His Word. And, you know, a lot of people got the idea that, you know, they're going to I'm going to read the Bible through in a year. And I love that. I mean, I've done it before. But I've also read the Bible through more than I mean, it's almost like read the Bible through in the year is like the culmination of the zenith of spirituality. And it's like, can I say this? It's way down here, folks. It's elementary. And God bless you if you get started in the kindergarten of Christianity and read your Bible every day. I hope that you do that. I hope that you can spend some time in your Word. But if you're barely subsisting, like I said, I don't want to condemn you, but you need to feed on the manna from heaven. You need to abide in the Word. And just by rushing through, giving 15 minutes and reading a chapter here or there is not going to get it. You are definitely going to live a substandard existence, in particular in your prayer life. So I'm saying that by experience. I'm not speaking down. I'm saying I know this. I know this. I've experienced this. You need to jump in and bathe your life in the Word. You need it all you can get it. I mean, well, I don't know what else I can say about that. But Jesus said, abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So there's another qualification. Ask whatever you wish. Do you see the qualification coming through there? As you abide in the Word, your wisher changes. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. So, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So the qualification is pretty clear. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then your prayers will be answered. Now later on there, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I ordained, or your version might say, I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. This is unbelievable. You've been chosen for the mission of bearing fruit. God wants you to bear fruit in order that the Father might be glorified. Jesus is saying, go bear fruit so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. And so, you have a calling now to go bear fruit so that you, as a believer, can enjoy having your prayers answered. I mean, has anybody been through the desert of praying and praying and like no answers, no answers? And we're like, well, Jesus, you promised whatever we want, right? Whatever you... No, Jesus definitely qualified His promises. And it's not in a legalistic sense, but He did qualify it, that the Father might be glorified, asking in Jesus' name, go and bear fruit so that whatever you ask, Jesus is saying, I'm going to equip my laborers adequately. Those who bear fruit. And then, in John chapter 16, Another great purpose of prayer is our joy. Thank you, John Piper. He wants us to be full of joy. Yeah. Well, thank you, Jesus. Jesus used John Piper to point it out to me. His brother caught that quick one. So, John brings in this purpose here and writes these words that Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Until now you haven't asked anything. Ask that your joy may be full." Now, you might have kind of a legalistic, you know, understanding of prayer that, oh man, we gotta, you know, that they want us to show up at Dave Davis's house at 6 o'clock in the morning. And we don't have prayer. 6:30, whatever it is, whenever we show. I wasn't even awake yet. But whatever, other prayer meetings that we go. One of the sparsest attended meetings that we have in our church is the prayer meeting. How do you say that graciously? Look, that, and I'm saying that with grace, all right? I'm saying that with love and concern. Because Jesus has promised, and he wants your joy to be full, and he's saying, ask so that I can do it so that your joy will be full. Now, it's not centered on selfishness. He's already qualified his promises. But he's saying, now, here's what I want you to do. Ask so that you will receive that your joy may be full. Jesus wants us to come to him that the Father might be glorified. He wants us to come to him on his authority. He wants us to bear fruit so that we can ask that our joy might be full. And so let me encourage you. Set aside a time to pray. Well, first of all, saturate your life with the Word of God. I mean, bathe your life in the Word. Find a way somehow, whether it's in the morning or it's in the evening. If you want to start off with a reading the Bible through in a year program, there's all kind of ways you can do it. But get in the Word every day. Meditate on the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Wow, I was just convicted as I said, memorize the Word of God, because I haven't really been memorizing. But that happens when you preach. Sometimes you end up preaching to yourself and you're like, ouch, ouch. But I'm going to pursue. We ought to be memorizing the Word of God. Sometimes I say that and I'm convicted. I'm like, well, Lord, I know Ephesians chapter 2. I know Psalms chapter 1. But it's more than just having it in our mind. It's chewing on it. It's meditating. It's applying it. Doesn't mean anything to you. Apply it. I knew a brother who could quote to you the whole, most of the New Testament. And I didn't believe until we had him to our church. And first he quoted the whole book of Revelation. And I was like, whoa. But the thing is, he didn't apply it to his life. He ended up leaving his wife. He ended up in jail just because, you know, he knew the Word, but he didn't apply the Word. So let's meditate. Let's set aside a time. Believer, just do it. Pray with the church. The truth is most people don't pray much. That's just the truth. Do you know, if we would be more of a praying people, I mean, and it's just not numbers. You know, we're not so caught up. Yeah, we got a few numbers, you know, wonderful. But, you know, this place would be exploding. And I'm not saying that it's not in God's hands, but God wants to do it through prayer. And he wants us to be full of joy by him working in us to glorify the Father by answering our prayers. And so set aside a time. Commit yourself. It's not legalistic. It's not, you know, it's no more of a burden than, like, I'm going to go, excuse me for using this illustration, but I'm going to go into a football game, so I'm going to put on pads. I'm going to put on a helmet. I'm going to put on a shoulder pad. I'm going to work out and I'm going to prepare so that when I get in the game, I'm not killed. I mean, do you want to end up on the battlefield, wounded in action or a casualty of war? I mean, how many times have we got to see this? How many preachers and men and families split up and churches split and just, I mean, you know, there's a church over here that's being sold right now. Well, they had glorious plans at one time, paid almost $500,000 for a piece of property, and, you know, they never dreamed that it'd be up for sale and the whole thing would be dissolved. Well, it's all in God's hand. God wants us to be a people of prayer. So, you know, and I'm sure this is something that, you know, Satan is working against. There's no doubt. You know, he's you know, probably, you know, speaking to people right now. Listen to Brother Bob trying to put a guilt trip on us and make us think that we have to pray. Man, we get to pray. And we ought to commit ourselves and prepare for action and prepare for battle. I mean, just like a hungry person prepares their meal. Just like thirsty people go to the fountain to get a drink. You know, just like when I'm sick, I take medicine. You know, it's a means of grace, not a rule. Prayer is a means of grace. And a lot of what God is doing right now in your life, believe it or not, is to make you a people of prayer. God does that. He brings us to the place, I mean, where, I mean, it's weird. A crisis occurs, and the first thing people do is cry out, "Oh God!" But God works like that in the life of His children. He'll take things and He'll deplete resources and He'll scoot everything back and draw back your strength and everything until you realize that this is your lifeblood, that you can't live without prayer. And oh, if you get hold of these promises. Jesus told the disciples themselves, "So far you haven't really asked anything in my name." And man, they saw a lot. They said, "Ask." Another time Jesus said, "Ask, seek, knock, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking." And I'm not saying that the testing will cease. The testing might intensify. We might get persecuted. But God knows what He's doing. We shouldn't think it's strange that we're tried. Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So I'm just exhorting you with all my heart. Be a people of prayer. Get caught up in the thrill. I mean, you know how excited we are when we pray and we share with one another? Here's what God did. God answered my prayer. I just seen on Facebook, and I want to confess my sins already, but I saw on Facebook that Aaron had put up there something in response to John Griever's post, how the food was so bad in Romania. And so, you know, we're all, we want to go to Romania. And my grandmother was Romanian, and my mother-in-law was Romanian, and we had a lot of good Romanian food. Scott, you don't have anything on me on Romanian food. I had relatives of Romanian. But Scott ate good Romanian food when he went in these restaurants and in homes. When we went, they put us in this camp. Make a long story short, it was just nasty stuff. I mean, we suffered for Jesus the whole week. It was terrible. So terrible that we went back and we were praying that night, because I think we had a little thing of like cornmeal mashed up with a raw hot dog beside it. And so we just prayed and we said, "God, we could just have some spaghetti tonight." And we walked over to the chow hall and they said, "We decided to make spaghetti. Spaghetti with noodles, spaghetti with sauce." And, you know, I'm not saying that, and I'm saying it's not a selfish consuming it upon your lust. But you're a warrior in enemy territory. And you need to be prepared for battle, because Satan walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. And sometimes Christians surprise me. They act like there's not even a war going on. And there is. And we need to be vitally in touch with Jesus. And we do that by prayer. And the way to pray is to have your life saturated with the Word and then set aside specific times where you pray for specific things in your life, in your family's life, in the church life, in the lives of our missionaries, that the Father might be glorified. And Jesus said, I will do it. So let's pray. Jesus, we are thankful for these promises. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, I know that I am an amateur at prayer. And oh God, how I want to be a prayer warrior. We have so many lost family members. We have so many hurting people. We have so many professing believers. So many of our church family who are hurting and even being swallowed up in sin. And God, yet we see your hand in our midst. We see you working. And, well, it terrifies me, Father, that we might be a prayerless people and that we might operate in the flesh and just get in your way. So, God, I pray that you would just cause us to be a people of prayer. Teach us to live in the light of what you've said. So thank you for this time we've shared together tonight. I pray we would apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.